بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Today we start a new chapter. باب جواز البكاء على الميت بغير ندب ولا نياحة. The chapter on the permissibility of crying for the deceased when it is done without being invited or without wailing. We'll explain this just now, what is meant without being invited and without wailing. So here we find that it is permissible. Somebody loses a family member, a friend, somebody that was close to him, dear to him. It's natural for him to feel sad. It's natural for him to be grieved. Shariat even accommodates that grief, that sadness. And it's permissible for a person to cry at that occasion when losing someone. So there's nothing against Islam that the fact that the person is crying. It doesn't mean that he doesn't have yakin in akhirat, in the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jannah. It's a natural condition that overtakes a person, and Shariat accommodates this condition. It is something that is natural, so it is permissible to cry. But where there is a problem is when this crying is invited. Invited meaning where a person makes wasiyat that professional mourners must come to my home, must come for my funeral, and they must start crying and wailing like how it was done in the old days. Even nowadays, some places you get this. The professional mourners come there and they start speaking about the person and they start crying and they make everyone around start crying. So this is a problem. This is not something that is permissible. We'll explain just now the two types of crying and the two situations where the person himself, he has now passed away but he's still getting guna because of what these people are doing in terms of wailing, in terms of crying. So there are two different aspects. One aspect is it's permissible to cry, but the second is where a person, he doesn't make wasiyat for it, he doesn't invite it, he doesn't call for it. And at the same time, those people that are crying, they haven't invited professional mourners, they are crying, they shouldn't reach that point of wailing. Wailing means to scream and to cry uncontrollably. Shariat is allowing you to cry, there's no problem crying. But cry within limits. What's within limits? Not that wild, screaming, wailing type of a cry. The person is now cursing this person, cursing that person. What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my family? I lost everything. This is not something that Shariat likes. So Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi has brought this explanation that wailing for the deceased is prohibited, and a separate chapter on this will follow if Allah Ta'ala wills. As for crying, there are several ahadith which state that it is prohibited and the deceased is punished by the crying of these of the family. These ahadith are subject to interpretation and apply to the person who makes such a bequest. Furthermore, this prohibition applies when people are invited for the purpose of crying or when there is wailing. There are many ahadith that permit crying when it is done without being invited and without wailing. So the first hadith, an Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, aada Sa'd ibn Abu Ubadah, ومعه عبد الرحمن بن عوف وسعد بن أبي وقاص وعبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنهم فبكى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فلما رأى القوم بكاء رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بكوا فقال ألا تسمعون إن الله لا يعذب بدمع العين ولا بحزن القلب ولكن يعذب بهذا أو يرحم وأشار إلى لسانه متفق عليه. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to visit Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiallahu anhu. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam went to visit Hazrat Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiallahu anhu. And who was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? There were three sahaba that were with him when he was going. So it shows that when you're going to visit someone, or we're going to a place where a person is reached his final illness, has just passed away, then to go with people also is fine. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went with three sahaba. He went with Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, he went with Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, and with Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhum. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went there, he had passed away. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam wept. When the people, in other words, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started tearing, it is natural when you said for tears to flow out of the eyes. So here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tears flew out of his eyes. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam cried for a while. He said, "Are you?" So when the people saw, first when they saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tearing, weeping, immediately those sahaba around, they also started weeping. And this is what you call true love. real love they had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he smiled, they smiled with him. When he teared, they teared with him. It wasn't something they made up. It was natural. They had so much of love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If they saw him uncomfortable, they became uncomfortable. If they saw him happy, they became happy. When he drank something, it was as though they were quenched with their thirst. If he ate something, it was though they had eaten something. They would feel so nice with the feeling of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in this case, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teared. They also teared with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, Ala tasma'un, are you listening? In other words, I'm telling you something important. Are you listening? Allah ta'ala does not punish for tears shed by the eyes, nor for the sorrow of the heart. The grief in the heart, Allah won't punish the deceased for that, nor for the people that are tearing that he passed away. Allah won't punish the deceased for that, but Allah punishes or shows mercy on account of this. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pointed to his tongue. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam pulled out his tongue, he pointed to his tongue, and he said, Allah ta'ala shows mercy to the person that has passed away, or punishes him on account of this. Ulama explained that part about showing mercy, we explained that in the previous chapter, where we speak good about the person that had passed away. He passed away, we speak good, and because of the good that people are speaking, accordingly this person now benefits from the good that are speaking, the du'as that are made with the tongue, people are making du'a for him, he is benefiting it. What it means that he's going to get punished by the people using their tongue, it means that one of two situations. One is, he made wasiyat, he made a bequest, that when I pass away, now what you do is you hire these mourners, these professional mourners, they must come. In Jahiliyat, it was something very common. And the bigger the personality was, the more influential, the more wealthy he was, he would make wasiyat to call more mourners. Because the bigger the crowd of mourners that would come there and professionally sing and mourn and cry and make all the people start wailing, that means it is a sign that this is a much bigger person that has passed away. So people would actually make wasiyat for this. So that's why this person now has passed away. He's getting punished because of the wasiyat he made for this thing that is wrong. That was one situation. Or sometimes you would get a situation where it is not professional mourners, but people would get together and they would imitate. The ladies, etc., would get together and they would imitate what the professional mourners would do. And they would use words like this, wa jabala, wa ra'sa. And these people would scream out that this person that has passed away, he was my ma'wa and he was my malja. So they would say, wa malja. The ma'wa means he was my place of safety. He was my place of refuge. Now he's gone. What safety have I got? What refuge have I got? So they start screaming out these things. So because of this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that people have got together and they imitating these people. It was a normal practice at that time. Very important point comes out from here, ulama explained. That it was a normal practice at that time for these people to do this. Either to make wasiyat or for people themselves to get together and scream out these slogans and these phrases. But this person that was passing away didn't warn them and he didn't tell them that ye cheez mat karo, don't do this, don't do this. He didn't stop them. It was a practice in his community. It was something that was happening and he allowed it to happen. Although he didn't make a bequest for it to happen, he allowed it to happen. So because he allowed something and he didn't stop it, ulama explained that he will be punished for this in the qabr. So this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is talking about when he says that a person won't be punished for grieving except in a situation where he made bequest, where he called for it, he asked for it, and then he will be getting punished. Even though here he didn't explicitly ask for it, but because it was a practice that was in vogue, he didn't stop his family from this, he will also be given punishment in the qabr. So here also we learn there's a lot of things that are in vogue, that are wrong, that are evil. Allah Ta'ala will take us to task for it if we know it's evil and it's a practice that is common, but yet we are not making specific reference or specifically encouraging our family that these things must not be carried out, must not happen. Then we will also be party to the guna when we know these things happen. It's a common example in a person's lifetime is that many weddings and many nikahs, there's intermingling taking place, there's photography taking place, there's music taking place, there's so much of guna. So a person sometimes he's involved, he may himself say, I'm not going, but he doesn't stop his family from doing it. Then he gets part and parcel of the guna because this is something that he should be stopping them from. Yeah, at the time of death, this is something that is in vogue. that this type of practice is taking place. He doesn't stop his family. He's in the qabr, but he's still getting guna with this practice. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. It shows how important it is, amr bil ma'roof wa nahi anil munkar, is encouraging good and forbidding evil. It affects a person even in the qabr after he is gone. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.